depending on what kind of doors they open up to Satan. So I saw it, and then I had to tell you the rest of it. So it wasn't long until that particular minister started doing all kinds of other stuff, where at one time he was living holy and righteously, and then all of a sudden he started fornicating, and then other spirits began to work, and before you know it, the ministry that this guy was over had just come to nothing. And he defiled many. Some people that were defiled by the bitterness that he had inside and the manifestation of it, some of them never have recovered in 30 years. Some people never get back. They get hurt. See, that's how bitter, that's the seed. They get hurt by a minister. They get hurt by a church. They get hurt by a friend. And they never deal with that properly, and they let that seed get in them, and then they go away from God. Now, this is what Adrian Rogers said about the root of bitterness. He said, bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves the soul in darkness. The seed of bitterness is a hurt that is planted in someone. It may be intentional or unintentional. Someone does not mean to hurt you, but you were hurt. Sometimes the hurt is only imagined. That's the worst kind of hurt, when it's an imagined hurt. No one has hurt you, but somehow you feel that someone has done something wrong to you. There are also times when the hurt may be the very chastisement of God upon your life. When you look at the context here, it's talking about God chastising you. Sometimes when God want to correct, how many know sometimes people get mad because God want to chastise them? How you know sometimes people get mad, they don't want, they look, don't tell me nothing. I don't want to hear it. I quote a script, they la, 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 la. I ain't hearing. La, 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 just like a little child. You know how you did when you was living with somebody saying something you don't hear? He said, la, 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 la. I can't hear you. La, 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 la. I can't hear you. La, 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 la. I ain't hearing nothing you say. Sometimes church folks the same way. God start talking, they go, la, 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 la. Or they go talk in tongues. Don't want to hear from God. The soil of bitterness is a heart that harbors hostility and does not deal with hurt by the grace of God. When someone becomes bitter, the bitterness takes root in the heart and grows deeper. The world is full of people who have not dealt with an old hurt. They look for things to criticize, people to find fault with, and ways to justify the way they feel. Have you ever seen people who are hypocritical? Generally, they are bitter people. They know how to push your hot buttons until you react in a way to further justify their bitterness. Then they say, aha, I was right. I have a right to be bitter. So when the scripture says looking diligently, that means you got to take a close look at what's in you. If you have a hurt on the inside, where someone has hurt you, or you perceive that they've hurt you, mistreated you, abused you, or some kind of way, you've been hurt by something somebody did to you, or you've been hurt by something somebody said to you, you have to deal with it. Because if you don't, then you'll begin to push away from the things that God have for you. That hurt will take you right out of the plan of God. And you will harbor resentment and hostility in your heart for many, many years. That's why I say you can hide it for a long time, because it'll grow underground.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you receive the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Oh my goodness. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, let me say this to you. I'm not really today. My charge is not really to preach today. It really isn't. I just want to give you some word. I just want to minister a minute to you in the word, because God has given this day and to me and to others who are by faith chosen of God with healing ministries and gifts and abilities to operate today. God wants to move us to a new place in Him in faith, because without faith it's impossible to please Him. And can I tell you, you have been the reason a lot of your stuff has been hung up. I know you don't want to hear that. You just want to shout, "No, that's good." But you need to know what's been hanging up your blessings, your healing, your breakthrough. You need to know that you may be part of the real reason why God has not been able to release into your life. And so when we look in Scripture, I want to share this with you before we begin laying hands for those and believing for those for deliverance sake, for those financial sake, those for healing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All this is what God desires. Let me say to you, none of this, regardless of what folks say, has stopped in the Word of God. It is as real and relevant now as it was when He did it then. We're talking Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the one who said, "These works shall ye do." Well, what works was he referring to? He was referring to all of the works He was doing. And then He attached this to it. He said, "Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father." Now, the Holy Ghost has come. He's present. He is our paraclete, the one called alongside of us to assist us in situations, circumstances, healings, guidance, guarding us, all of those things. And He is present today. And so for those of you who believe in God, Some might say, well, you know, I've been believing God a long time. And again, believing is a wonderful thing. But I want you to get to the place where you have believed, period, it's settled. You're just waiting on the fruition. And so it's just like that woman in the 18th chapter of Luke who went to the judge because nobody else could fix her case. She didn't keep going to him because she didn't believe he didn't hear her. She kept going to him because she believed that he was the only one who could do something about it. And one day, if he didn't hear her then, he'd hear her one day, sooner or later. And she kept. So by faith, you're going saying, God, I know you've already done it. I'm talking about the faith walkers now. But I'm just going to receive. I'm just looking. I'm expecting. I'm not giving up. I'm not closing my eyes. I'm thanking you even in advance before it even gets here. I know it's coming. So forgive me if I look like I can't wait another minute, because I believe it's on the way and it can show up anytime. That's the kind of faith God wants us to operate. And look, if you will, heads about. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, your Son, we come now to hear your word. Let the Holy Ghost speak a rhema word to us. Meet us where we are. Minister to us there. And then lift us to the place you'd have us to be, that we might operate in faith, that we might receive the fruition of your promise, the gifts, and everything that belongs to the believer. We thank you for this first day of the year 2010. And the great anticipation for many things that were begun even many years before that shall find their divine completeness in this year. Many things we've been waiting on, we've been striving for, and even some, God, moving toward that realm of faith in a whole new way. Look for the fruition of those things promised. We count it done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. And there are verses from 13 to 23 or so that we want to look at. But I want to just pull out verse 20. Verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You may be seated. Now, when the Bible talks about, as Paul writes this letter to the church at Rome and reminds them that God by faith called Abraham, the Bible says in verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 14 says, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. I've shared this with you before. If there is no law, then you can't break a law. Where there is no law. But where there is a law and you break it, then you trespass the law. All right, it says, again, verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now listen at this, because Abraham is the father of faith. If you're going to have faith, then it has come from the man who has walked by faith, originated faith, believing God in the realm of faith that pleased God, and so was blessed of God because of this issue called faith. He is the father of faith because faith in the earth realm was begun in his walk with God. Now, at 75 years old, because we want to talk about stretching your mind, at 75 years old, most folk have, you know, concluded that life and the best of life is behind them. They've shut down their mind for expansive thinking, for increased thinking, for development, et cetera, et cetera. So, and so as a result of that, most of life does shut down for them because there is no thought pattern that removes them out of the norm, that removes them out of the commonality of men of that age. And so when God saw Abram and God told him, listen, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, and I'm going to bless you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he tells him how he's going to make his name great, et cetera. But then he tells him, you've got to leave your father's house. You've got to leave your family. You've got to leave your comfort zone, your place of habitat, and go to a land that I shall show you. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I don't care what age you are, that's stretching your mind to believe God for something you've never seen. To believe God that you've just met and come in contact with, and to hear him tell you he's going to do these things when there's been no proof that he's done anything else before. So when you begin to look at all of the things that make up this mind-stretching experience for Abraham at 75 years old, the question becomes, what's your excuse? God wants to meet you and take you out of the commonality of the thought processes we operate in daily and bring us to a place that's far beyond our reach, our scope, our ability to comprehend, our ability to logically, syllogistically deduce from cause to effect. We can't figure the thing out, but God wants us to trust him. And when we begin to do this, we literally let down our guards and we really cut open the box that our thought processes rest in, and we begin to expand it so that God would do what he wants to do. And this is important because what you've got to realize is that's when faith really becomes active. That's when faith really begins to take new levels and begin to move outside of its confounded and conformed shape of the thought processes of our own natural minds. And so when we look at Abram here, who was blessed of God to hear a word from God, and all he had to do was believe that word and then begin to operate by faith, which meant that he put into action the plan that God had for his life, not being able to see, nor know, nor touch, nor feel, but simply trust what God said and watch God bring this thing to pass. He had a mind-stretching experience. Do you know many of us can't get what God wants for us because we don't understand it? Because it doesn't make sense to us? Because it takes us out of our place of safety? Because we've never known an experience like that before? Because it cuts against the grain? Because it's not something we're used to? It ain't something we can tell somebody and they understand, so therefore we can't really get no help or no hope from somebody else, and it makes folk think we're crazy, done lost our mind, because God has promised us something supernatural, something wonderful. Do you not know you might be the first? Do you not know that you might be one of the few? Do you not need this? I need you to know this, that you might be one of the select that God is choosing to do a new thing in, with, because of. And so you've got to know, listen, everybody that God touches in the faith realm, he pulls them. When Mary, that young virgin of low estate, wasn't reared in the house of blessings, wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth, didn't come from a royal, a peasant girl. And God sent Gabriel now to tell her she's going to bear the Son of God in this earth. Do you know that was so many more he could have chosen who were more loftier, more educated, intelligent, more perhaps blessed in more other arenas, but he chose this low, meek, and humble handmaiden. And she had to admit, Lord, I don't know what this means, but you know, I tell you what, just like you said it, let it be. I imagine she was the one that first really made that song, let it be, let it be. Let it be, let it be. You read the word, it's right there. That she, Lord, just do what you say you're going to do. I don't understand any of it, but I'm going to accept it. It was a mind-stretching experience. And I can walk through the Word, but I think you get the point. You can walk through the Word for yourself and see these are the areas and arenas where when God took somebody out of the place of where they were, or where they were, to bring them where he wanted them to be, it first began in the mind. Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so if you're really going to prepare your mind to really envelop and embrace the bigness of what God wants for you, and to understand his divine order and divine structure, and understand that God is in control, and when you submit and surrender yourself to him, God can do in you, with you, through you, in spite of you, what he wants for his glory and your good. So look again at the text, because I want you to see this again. Verse 17 says, let's back up to verse 16 again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise is sure. It is a certainty to not just some, but to what? All the seed. All the seed. Now, listen at this word again now. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he, what?
Believed.
Past tense. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, if he quickens the dead, then the dead ain't no issue for God. See, you need to stop looking at your situation and say, well, it done died. Oh, Lord, it done died. Well, it has died, but your God hasn't. Sarah's womb was dead. God told her husband, I'm going to make you father. Oh, yeah, and Sarai. Mother of many nations. Well, now her womb was dead when he made the promise. If God makes the promise, even though your situation may be dead, do you know he has the power to perform it? See, you need to stop looking at your dead situation and start looking at your living God, who has the power to change what has died in your life, in your situation, in your circumstances. He quickeneth, he raises, he brings back to life, he makes anew. Now listen, if he has that kind of power, then what is your problem? Talking about mind stretching. See, there are some things that you need to realize God ain't even concerned about, that you're worried about. Just because it's dead, what is that to God? That's a problem for you. That's not a problem. How many of you have had a situation where your finances died? Some of you just had a financial funeral. Just said ashes to ashes. And that's why you got that look on your face now. But I want to tell you, 2010, God can raise your finances. Somebody don't hear me yet. And you can apply that to everything else that God has promised you and given you. And so when you stretch your mind to believe that God cannot fail, that there is nothing impossible for God, with God there is nothing that he can't do, then you begin to put him in the place that he himself resides in. And that's almighty and all powerful. And when you know that, my brothers and sisters, listen at this, then you begin to take on the characteristics of God being able, as he spoke those things which were not as though they were. Then you begin to copy his speech, his pattern. He spoke to a man what wasn't as if it were. And when you begin to start speaking what you don't see rather than speaking what you do see, because it doesn't take faith to speak what you see. It takes faith to speak what you do not see. Yeah, so when you don't see it there, then that's when you need to start speaking. And all the stuff you see, you ought to shut your mouth about. Because you ain't wise and deep to say what you see. You wise to speak, and you are deep when you speak what can't be seen right now. And then when you start speaking by faith, and folk didn't see it when you started speaking, but you spoke by faith, and soon after they saw what you said, man, you start following the pattern of God, man. Man, you start learning what it feels like to start speaking stuff into existence. Because you have that authority, that power, you're made in God's image and in His likeness, and you are following what God has set as a pattern for the people of God to walk by faith in. So look again at what the Bible says. Again, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, against hope, believed in hope. Hope said, listen, in the flesh, man, things look bad. And here's what he did. He said, hope, let me revive you and give you some hope. Now, you're supposed to be encouraging me, hope, but let me encourage you. God said this. See, when you look at your situations and it ain't lining up, hope seems to tip back from the situation. You might need to lasso hope and bring it closer. Say, hope, did you hear what I said? God said this. And make hope stay there and listen and believe what God has said to you. Listen again. Hoped against hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Come here, hope. Listen, God spoke this thing according to that which was spoken, hope. That means I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. Hope, we're going to do this thing. Now listen at this. If he didn't believe he was going to reap a harvest, he wouldn't have kept on sowing seed. Some of y'all, just went right over your head. But one day he kept sowing seed, and Sarah said, Abram! Yes, sir. Come here. She looked at him with that look and said, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. He could have given up long ago and said, listen, Sarah, listen. Now, don't go there. But he believed God against hope. You know, and that literally means it doesn't matter what it looks like. If God said, keep on doing it. By faith, I'm doing it, God, because you said it. You've spoken this thing, and because you've spoken, I'm going to keep on doing it, God. It ain't lining up, but hey, God, you said it. I'm going to keep on doing it, God. And that's what hope against hope means. Stretching your mind beyond what you see, what you feel, what you're experiencing, and believe God. Now listen at this, because the Bible says now as they move from the stretching process, it moves now to the strengthening process. Verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith. It's talking about the strengthening process of your mind now. Listen. He considered not his own body now dead. See, now when you start strength training, you've got to stop looking at what you see to be a problem as a problem, but rather a part of the process. Did you hear what I just said? You see, our problem is we get bogged down because we let the problem put a roadblock up for us. But when we get to the point where we stop looking at the problem being a roadblock for us and simply a hurdle, then we start learning that the roadblock can stay there because it's no lower than a hurdle, and a hurdle can only come up so high. But listen, in track, you'll know that you train to jump over hurdles instead of stopping. Y'all not hearing me here. And so when you start seeing your problems as hurdles, they start diminishing. They're still there, but now they're workable, they're doable. So you can run and start and keep running it. And keep, y'all not hear me. And hurdles then are able to be managed because of how you see them. Listen to what the word says again. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He ain't paid no attention to that. You know, that's when folks start thinking you're crazy. Don't you see that? Yeah, I see that. But that ain't what I'm focusing on. What I see is my source, who's greater than my situation. And when you see your source as greater than your situation, you stop focusing on your situation and focusing on what the source has said. Look, again, this is strength training now. And